It is Thought Leader Thursday, and Chuck Garcia is here this morning. He's the Director of Commercial Deposits and Treasury Management at Associated Bank. Chuck, good morning. Welcome back to the Opening Bell.
Good morning. Thank you for
having me. Happy holidays as well.
And same to you.
There's some news happening at Evanston. Recently, there was a big battle over the deposits of a well-known bank that's calling it quits. Talk to us a little bit about that.
Well, I don't know the specifics about that individual bank, but I think in general what we are seeing, and I think we'll continue to see well into next year, is certain banks just aren't able to grow in the fashion that either their shareholders or their expectations are, there's still a fair amount of regulatory burden. Competition is fierce, and rates, even though they are rising, when they stay as low as they have, as long as they have, it still puts a lot of pressure on growth.
The bank is First Bank and Trust of Evanston. I think it's going to had about 25% of the market share.
Right.
Couldn't go any higher than that. Does that sound about right?
That's significant market share.
Yeah,
that, you know, for an organization to have that much, obviously they've been around a long time, mm-hmm. Very well known. But again, you kind of reach that peak and you can't open branches to where they make sense to grow in any type of measurable fashion. So it's not a real shock. I think we'll continue to see more of that.
So the banks that were in the running for this include some of the other bigger banks here in Chicago. I think Byline Bank also was in on this, trying to pick up some of their deposits. Was Associated in on any of this?
Not to my knowledge. We are in the midst of an acquisition integration right now, mm-hmm. in Wisconsin that really has us occupied. But I think any of the banks in our space are open to looking at acquisition, because it's a great opportunity to grow, especially when you have a good name. That's a very well-known, good, positive name in the market.
It's kind of sad, too, though, on a sense, because, you know, you have a community bank that I'm guessing a lot of people were pretty loyal to.
Yes.
And it goes away. When another bank comes in, a bigger bank comes in and swallows them up, how does that affect the customers there? Do you normally see customers bail, or do they make it worth their while to stay?
I think what you'll see with most customers that have been loyal to an organization like that is if they don't see a degradation in the service levels that they're accustomed to, often the same people are still there, hopefully. You know, mm-hmm. hopefully you can keep the same people, keep them in the branches where people are face-to-face. And as long as you can keep a level of service that people are accustomed to, you don't raise fees a lot, mm-hmm. And the impact to individual clients, be they corporate or consumer type of clients, often they'll choose to stay. Changing banks is not easy. Even for consumers, you have a lot of bill pay now. And so I think it's incumbent on the purchasing bank to make it right for their clients.
I think First Evanston was in on this too. And I think they said that they were going to make sure that customers still didn't have to pay fees for ATMs. So that opened up their network. Little things like that mean a lot.
Of course they do. Yes, you bet. And again, people are very conscious in the early days of, okay, is Bob still here? Okay, even if Bob is not here, is Sally now doing just as good a job as Bob did? And that's what people will be very, very attuned to.
I keep hearing there's going to be a lot of M&A activity kicking in here.
I believe so.
Are there other banks like this community bank that are sitting waiting out there?
There are a lot. You know, the other thing that comes into play often with community banks, you know, not just in the city but out in the rural parts of our states, are succession. You know, often the younger generation has no interest in being a part of the bank that their parents or grandparents were a part of. And so succession planning comes into play, and people go, you know what, it's a good time. Multiples in banks are very high right now, too. And so a good time to cash out for many that maybe can't make sense of it, and or maybe the family doesn't want to continue on, which is very, very common.
Are there investment opportunities if people are looking in from the outside when it comes to this activity?
I believe there is. I think anything north of $1 billion in particular in asset sizes often are publicly traded at that point in time. Absolutely there is.
So we'll stay tuned for that in 2018.
I think there will be a lot of change.
One of the other stories that caught my eye this past week, and we talked a little bit about this, is that Wells Fargo and Bank of America are moving now to stop people from depositing cash in other people's accounts. I didn't know that was a thing. I didn't know you could do that. And anyway,
well, because it's cash, historically you have been able to. And I think what you're seeing today, I think some people are trying to play it as more of, we don't want people in our branches. Frankly, I think it's more anti-money laundering. The penalties around that are so significant, especially for big banks. They're significant for all of us. But know your customer, know where the money is coming from is really critical. And I know ourselves, not specifically around cash, but we will frequently pass on certain relationships if we don't know where the origin of that deposit, be that cash or check, is coming from. So that's not a real shock to me.
The story I found in it was in Biz Journals had the story of a woman who owed her mother money, and she deposited $60 in her mother's account, and she's upset that she's not going to be able to do that anymore. So there is that smaller part of the mom and pop philosophy that, hey, that's we're kind of moving away from that.
It is. You know, situations like that are, you know, they're unfortunate. And oftentimes you have to use a little common sense as well, but policies are what people have to follow. So it's unfortunate in those situations, but those are not what people are trying to get around or trying to solve for, I should say.
And the technology is such now that we don't need to put cash in accounts. There's the Venmo. There are other places that people send money to each other. Are banks getting? I mean, I know we've talked about this before. To what level are banks getting involved in the ability for me to send you money and me to send somebody else money?
It is much, much more active. I think you saw this really with the larger banks to begin with. It is becoming, and I think during the course of the next year, we'll see what comes. But I think in the next year, that will become much, much more mainstream. Whether people either utilize a Venmo type of application, create their own person-to-person type of payment, it will become very mainstream, I believe, in the next year.
A solution for the woman with $60, just give it to your mom. Just hand it over to your mom.
Right.
Right. Let's talk about some of the other trends. I know that we talked about the technology part of, you know, money, giving money, changing hands with the Venmos and stuff. But what else did you see as one of the trends of this past year that is taking hold that we'll see more of next year?
Well, I think information always is key. And how can you, and I since I operate more in the corporate space, information is really critical. Knowing where your money is, where it is located in the payment streams and so forth. So all of those things will continue to evolve. And the more information we can provide clients, the better. We've talked a lot about the cybersecurity. Mm-hmm. That continues to evolve and will continue to be a very significant piece of what we as an organization need to provide for ourselves as a bank, but also very, very important for our clients, be they consumer and or corporates. Those will continue to evolve.
One of the trends that I saw in a published report on this talked about something called payment hubs, that we'll see more of these payment hubs. What are payment hubs and why will we be seeing more of them?
Payment hubs are really where you get it more of a conglomeration of entities into a payment stream, and they utilize different means by which to pay one another. Mm-hmm. It's becoming, again, more mainstream. And I'd say the upper middle market, the larger corporate segments have utilized payment hubs for several years now. And as typically occurs, they begin to filter down into lower ends of the marketplace, be they middle markets. It's a very efficient means by which to pay people, receive payment, and then create some discounts amongst each other in the process. It too will become mainstream. I think I'd give a little longer window to that out a couple of years, but I believe that will become very mainstream. Our bank is absolutely looking at that right now.
A lot of people are looking forward to having more ability to forecast cash flow.
Yes.
And those could do that.
Well, the predictability of the payments both going out and in creates a situation where you can maximize your cash. Absolutely. And again, creates discount opportunities that perhaps aren't out there today. So if I know you say pay me by Thursday and I pay you by Thursday, I know that money's out of my account in yours. And by then you can also create some discount opportunities for yourself.
There are all kinds of big players in this space. But more and more you hear about some of the lower to middle market players coming up.
Yes.
Who's active in the Chicago area?
Well, certainly the B of A's, the Chase's, mm-hmm. Wells Fargo, ourselves. I can't speak for like the private bank and others. Now, CIBC, I have to assume if they aren't doing it, I know they're looking at it. We attend a number of conferences together, and they are hearing the same messages that I'm hearing. And whether they're doing it today or not, the exploration is absolutely there. Again, coming more down market.
Is it going to be something that is demanded of banks to have this in place?
Eventually, sure. And, you know, there's also opportunity if you can get out in front of it. If you know your client base and it's something that, they're wanting and can utilize, you can certainly get ahead of the curve on that, because it takes a while to catch up and integrate these into your systems. I'm speaking for our bank anyway. Mm-hmm.
Another trend is the cloud. We keep hearing a lot about the cloud. One of the predictions for 2018 is we will see more proliferation of cloud-based activity.
We will. The simple cost efficiencies that are created of utilizing the cloud are enormous, and they're just getting better. They're getting better and better. So I know in a situation we had recently, we had a key decision to make on how much data we would move. Let's say we said move it all. It's inexpensive. Yeah. And so old days, we would have parsed a number of elements out and probably created a lot of friction for our clients. We decided to go the route of let's take it all because it is so efficient and inexpensive.
And is it to the point now, you mentioned security earlier, where the risk management part of this has been handled to the point where you feel more and more comfortable?
I think we all do, yes. Again, the minute we get far too comfortable is a bad day for all of us. But yeah, the comfort level is much, much higher today.
Yeah, and speaking of risk, it almost seems like we've forgotten all about the data breach at the credit monitoring agencies.
Yes.
It's sort of off the radar screen completely. Has there been any backlash to any of that?
I think the immediacy of the backlash was felt. Mm-hmm. I am sure they are still feeling pain. It's just not in the news as much, but I have to think inside their own walls. They're still feeling the pain of the loss of accounts, loss of confidence, which is huge in that business.
Yeah, I have not seen any stories of people who've lost money.
Nor have I.
Yeah. So that's good, but then again, maybe the criminals are just sort of waiting. And
that absolutely is an occurrence where they'll take your information today and wait 6 months to do something with it.
What else does your crystal ball tell you about 2018?
Well, obviously, I think we will see more rate increase during the course of the year. All the economic indicators seem to point that way, whether it's two or three in 2018. I think that's still out, but at least two, I believe we'll see. I think we'll see one this week. Maybe it's hopeful, but I think we will. I think so. Rates will continue to rise. I think that will put pressure on organizations like ours of how do we respond? Do we increase our rates at a rate commensurate with the rate increases? How quickly do we do that? So it certainly puts strategic implications into ourselves and our competitors. I think consumers as a whole, I think the efficiency of the payment systems will continue to get better and better. And so as consumers, corporates, I think we'll make things more efficient. And I think the demand on organizations like ours as banks is going to continue to be strong because consumers do want that in particular.
We're heading into a year where, you know, we're coming out of a year where consumer confidence, business confidence, everybody's confidence is really high. Is it time now to start seeing that translate into projects and other kinds of things that you would normally see come through the bank?
I think we will. You know, the whole tax implications that are right in flight right now will have already have, I think, a significant impact on people's willingness to invest. We are absolutely seeing corporates in particular using more of the cash they've built up over the last 5, 6, 7 years. Rather than borrowing, using that cash, putting it in play in factory and in upgrades that they probably put off. And I think the tax implications that we'll see repatriation of funds potentially into the U.S. could be very substantial for the economy. And even it could get very heated during the course of the year in terms of the economy. And I think that'll be interesting to watch and see how the Fed responds with that.
Any New Year's resolutions for yourself coming up?
Well, the usual: lose weight, yeah, don't eat so much, all of those things. I'm sure they will come on a sheet of paper. But, you know, I think I'm very optimistic for our business, for our clients' business, and looking forward to another good year.
Chuck, it's always good talking with you. Have a great holiday season.
And the same to you.
Chuck Garcia is the Director of Commercial Deposits and Treasury Management at Associated Bank. Make sure you tune in every Thursday for another Thought Leader Conversation. You can find our past conversations at WGNRadio.com on the Thought Leader page on the opening bell page.